This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. This week, Damien Duff's men continued their encouraging pre-season form with a draw against Wexford and a win against the small village in Munster. Owen Whelan announced the signing of Ireland international Rowan McLaughlin and Ava O'Mahony. We'll visit the group chat, we'll visit the Richie Rankins, and we'll field some listener questions. To do it all with me, the great and wonderful Ben Cleary. Ben, what's the story? How are you?
Duty, how are you getting on? Thanks for having me back again so soon. I'm delighted to be back. Hopefully that means that I can be a little bit more of a semi-permanent fixture, because I do enjoy our lovely chats.
Ben, how's your week?
Yeah, it's not being too bad. It's basically just a countdown to the start of the season, to be honest. Like, it's just, I have the fixtures as my lock screen on my phone. That's how much of a sad life I live. So every time I look at my phone, I'm like, oh, it's nearly February 16th. Oh, we're getting there. Just really excited to get started, and I'm really looking forward to the trip to Waterford, because I just love an away day. I just love the trip in the car, the lads, the songs, the laugh. It's great crack.
Speaking about that opener, Ben, that away game with Waterford, we did have an early message into the group chat from our SLO, John Brennan. Let's throw over to John now.
Hi, y'all. There will be a supporters bus going to Waterford for the first away game of the season on Friday the 16th of February. It'll leave Tolka Park at 3:30. It costs €25 for adults and €20 for students and OAPs. In order to reserve your place, if you'd like to send a text or WhatsApp to 087-661-0927. Once I confirm availability, a Revolut payment will need to be made in order to guarantee your seat on the bus. So I hope to see as many people as possible. Really looking forward to the season. Up the Reds.
John Brennan there with all the details for the away supporters bus for that trip to Waterford for the first game of the season on the 16th of February. Ben, Waterford away, it's so close yet so far. There's been business to tend to before that. I mentioned in the intro a draw at Wexford and a victory against Cork. Nice to get wins, players getting game time. Neither of us were available for either of those games. I was stuck up in the north of Ireland at a cheerleading competition. To say I would have rather freeze myself to death in the AUL would be an understatement. But what we both did was attend the Leinster Senior Cup game against Evergreen last Tuesday evening. Was it? Yeah. Seems like a long way away now, that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look, it's a team comprised of the under-20s. Duffer decided not to put the first team into it. Obviously, he has a schedule and a proper like pre-season routine. It was an impressive victory in the end. It's difficult with those kind of games. I mean, I know Evergreen didn't really play a lot of their heavy hitters. A couple of ex-League of Ireland players in that squad, you know, Dave Grinsell, I'm fairly sure, netted a couple of times against the Reds over the years. But great run out for the young lads, and if I'm being totally honest, it was just lovely to be back in Tolka. The game actually ended up secondary, really. I know that's quite bad, but just nice to be back. The lads, the great Alan Smith, Reggie, just back in Tolka, having a chat and waffling away. It was nice to be back all the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant, because like it's just such a social thing, and it's part of, I think, our lives now. Like, our kind of, in a way, our whole lives revolve around the club, which sounds a bit sad, but like some people have to go out of their way to organize meeting their friends, and it's, are you free this day? Are you free this day? It's never an issue with us. It's, I'll see you Friday. And if I don't see you one Friday, I'll see you the next one. So it was great to get down, even though it was a Tuesday night. It's a cold L night. Good to catch up. Kind of got me a little bit giddy for the season. Like, just like excited to get in, get started, get everything going. The football was secondary, but it doesn't mean it wasn't good. I think Lewis Temple looked really good. I think he's one that could definitely be ready for that jump up, especially if you're looking at depth. He just looked really composed on the ball. Both feet, just like a really, really strong player.
It's always interesting with those under 20 games. It obviously used to be under 19s. It changed to 20s this year. That some of the players just, they look like senior players in that kind of an environment. Lewis was definitely one of them. Big lad, commanding, giving out information, good on the ball. A rock, really. And as you mentioned, it could be a, don't want to say a breakout year. That might make it sound like a bit of pressure on the lad, boys. He's well capable, and with the likes of Luke Brown going off, Steph Negru before him as well, the pathway's definitely there. So we mentioned the football was nearly secondary. An encouraging performance, the 4-1 win against that Evergreen side. Charlie McGee, Dan Bergen, Tyreek Sammy, and I believe Dylan Atanda got the last one to make it 4 right at the end. Evergreen went down to 10 men. I've never seen a man want to just finish playing so much in my life. The lad that got sent off for Evergreen is just like, oh, here, couldn't be dealing with this. I'm chasing all these young lads around. I just could not be bothered. But at that stage, I was freezing and I just wanted to get out of there. So didn't really appreciate all of us faffing around.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's just like, just leave, please, so I can leave. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. We've been here long enough. Interesting, actually, people may not realise, Luke Byrne was in the dugout with the under-20s for that game. It's one of those things, and we're going to have Luke on in the not-too-distant future to talk about his role as the technical director, sporting director. Good to see him on the in and around the pitch, though. It's definitely, like, if you're one of those under-20s and you're like a left full or a centre-back, probably not a better person you could be learning from.
Yeah, like, Luke is just full of knowledge. Like, he's been at the very top. He's also not shy being in the dugout. You know, he's coached for a few years and he does have that experience. I'd say he's probably had a hand on a few of the lads and he's seen them come up. So, great for him to be out there. Great to see him around. Hopefully we see more of that. I just think he has so much knowledge to share, whether it's within the academy lads, even with some of the first team lads coming through. I think he's going to be invaluable for the club going forward.
It will be, of course. Ben, we launched a group chat last week. It was a great success. We did have people get in touch. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get through everyone's messages every week. We will try and vary as much as possible. We'll try and hear from everybody, all different parts of the club, different points, be they positive or negative. The first message to the group chat this week, he unfortunately never stuck his name on it. So, mystery man, whoever you are, let us know. Get onto us on Twitter or Instagram or somewhere. Yeah, let us know, or even in the WhatsApp group, just let us know who you actually were because you didn't tell us. But mystery man, reveal yourself.
Hey lads, loving the podcast, great content. I have a question. I personally think we have enough to qualify for Europe again next year in the league. Like, he's brought in some good players this year that if you stay fit will be a danger, and if some old players come back like Boydie stays fit, we could be looking good. But in your opinion, what's needed, if anything, to go for the league this year? Like, I think, considering we were last year, the year before last, come a long way. So, are we kind of one or more signings away from doing that? Or are we far off, do you think?
Ben, I'll put the question to you simply. What is lacking from this group? Or what do we need to push for a title?
I think, and look, this may be controversial. If you look at defensively, think we're there. We're up with the best of them. If you look at our goals conceded, clean sheets. What separates a team like Rovers and a team like us from winning the league is depth, and it's the quality of the depth. Like, at points during their season, you look to their bench and, you know, if Graham Burke doesn't start, he comes on. Richie Tell, the same. Like, that kind of quality to come off the bench is incredible. Like, it's, there's no denying how good those players are. So I think that's what separates the first spot, second, third. I think it is just that quality of depth. And I think if we get that, it's something we could definitely see to push on. I think we could definitely be in the conversation for winning a league with that kind of depth. I think we've gone a long way to address that in the off season. I think we've added a lot, especially where we lacked last season up front. You know, when players went down, it was, you know, head in the hands, and it was, right, we're in trouble here. Sean Boyd, we're in trouble here. Matty Smith, we're in trouble here. But now I think, you know, we have those players, and we've signed that bit of quality that maybe in those games where you have players go down, there's someone that has a similar quality or a similar spark that can come on and ignite a game. So I think that's what separates us, in my opinion.
I'd be similar with that. Yeah, definitely. Look, when it comes to depth, and you say it there perfectly, the quality of the depth is a huge thing. You could have a squad of 24, 25, 26, but if it's mainly been buffed up by under 20s or lads of inferior quality, sometimes that can be a bit of a hindrance. The group we have this year seems a well-rounded group. It's not a huge squad. It's not a tiny squad. It seems to be just nice. And you're mentioning there, like, ultimately Rovers are the team to catch. I mean, they win it again for me. I don't think ourselves or Derry or Pats or anyone else will get them. But, like, we lost, I think it was towards the end of September last season, that 1-0 defeat out in Talla. I just had a quick scan through, and the players, like, listen to this for the players that Rovers were able to bring on. And this, keep in mind, is a group built over years. It's not over two seasons. Like, this is the first real proper season where there's a proper carrot that the manager can dangle. There's, like, you know, we're playing in Europe, we want to push on, all that type of thing. This is the first year of it. Last year was just, you know, trying to build something. This year, trying to build on that something you've already created in the first year. But those Rovers players they were able to bring on towards the end of last year: Dylan Watts, Aaron Green, Richie Towell, Trevor Clark, and Jack Byrne. Like, those five start for every single other team in the league. And that left on the bench, Sean Hoare didn't come on, Darren Nugent didn't come on, and Johnny Kenny didn't come on. I remember that game because we were still well in the game. We were pushing and we were causing problems for Rovers. And I remember them making the substitutions and just going, oh my God. I mean, how are you meant to compete with that? It was either yourself or Darren that I literally turned to and said, how are you meant to compete with that? Like, it's crazy. And that's not even talking about who started the game. Like, they brought off Ronan Finn, Graham Burke got sent off, Sean Kavanagh came off, Gary O'Neill came off, Rory Gaffney came off, and Liam Burt all came off.
Yeah.
Like, that, I think I'm all for, and I think Mark Coyle mentioned it in the video we did with him when he was announced as the club captain, that, you know, you aim for the stars. Absolutely, 100% I agree with that. But it might just take another couple of years to really build something that's vast enough and deep enough that you can sustain kind of a whole season worth. Hopefully we get a European run, which would be fantastic, and you'll need the bigger squad for that. But then you're left playing catch up through the league games then as well, or you can be. We famously were on the back end of that. Last season, obviously the Pats debacle. So, mystery man, it's a great question. It feels like if everything went right and we avoided injuries and avoided suspensions, I do definitely think we could push 100%. It's just that if you get those couple of injuries, that first kind of round of bodies that can come in will be more than good enough. And it's then just after that, just experience. And now, I'm kind of going back on myself here a little bit, but like with the squad of players that we have, like Paddy Barrett has won trophies, Shane Griffin, I'm stand to be corrected, but I think Griff did win a league with Cork, played in Europe, done all those good things. Sean Gannon, I mean,
what hasn't he done?
Trophies galore for him. So like, there's winning players in there. Liam Burt obviously won the league last year with Rovers. So there's lads in there know how to win trophies and knowing how to win football matches and knowing how to win trophies. Sounds a bit mad, but they can be very different things. So the gist of the question was, what do we need to be able to push, to challenge, to win the league? And I don't know whether the mystery man was alluding to like players or what, but for me, it's time. I just think we need a bit more time, another year to build, and then hopefully next year you can put a proper kind of push on. Like, other than that, if you're going down the players' route, I mean, what else do we need? Like, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot.
Players available for transfer, players we can bring into the club. Is there a lot where you'd say, oh yeah, we need him. He'd define everything for us. Like, the quality is there. We're not struggling for lack of quality. And we've brought in a lot of quality players.
We have, 100%. Like, I mean, Liam Burt is, like, I was messing with you before, saying I went down a Liam Burt rabbit hole and I was looking back on his highlights and his best goals and stuff. Like, he's a match winner on his own in that kind of Jack Moylan mould where he can just come up with something. Like, just out of nowhere, something could happen with Liam Burt where he'll stick one in the top corner. I would probably put Jad in that same kind of department. I put Matty Smith in that department of something can just, like that, blink of an eye, can just stick a ball in the top corner.
Make anything out of thin air, like, it's just,
yeah, exactly. Or could skin two or three and stick it in the net. And like, you do need moments like that as well. I mean, wasn't it that goal actually in that Rovers game, wasn't it Graham Burke scored that cracker? Like, they're them big moments in the season that you need to come up with. But in terms of personnel, I'm happy. Like, as you said, for what's available out there, I don't think we could have done a lot better. But what I did find out last week at the Leinster Senior Cup game was you knew something last Monday, Ben, when we recorded the podcast.
I absolutely did not.
And you did. You did. So, well, you didn't know that Will Jarvis, of course, has rejoined the Reds on another season-long loan. Talking about players with X-Factor, players can pull something out of nothing. Big Willie Jarvis is probably one of those players, I'd say.
Yeah, I think he has the skill in abundance. He's a direct player. I look, as Darren said to us during that game, is you did a full-on piece on him and didn't even know he was signing. I promise you, hand on heart, Darren actually doesn't tell me these things because he says it's best I don't know unless I really need to, because then I can never get the blame. So, yeah, I think we've spoken about Will a lot. He's quality, isn't he? He gets on the ball. He's direct. He runs at you. Makes a show of people. He creates something out of nothing. And he is really that X factor. Like, the manager has spoken before, players that get you out of your seat, that man will have you standing for 90 minutes. And he'll do something. You saw it, his quality when he came in last year. Like, how quickly he got into the team and got acclimatized to the team and used to it. He was just so good, and I think he's just that kind of X factor we need, especially with our considerable amount of games during the summer.
Well, I'll put this one to you, Ben. The reason we talked about Will Jarvis last week was it was actually a Friends and Reds Independent actually got onto us and asked the question, are you going to talk about Will Jarvis? And at the time, I had heard he was supposed to be going to Pats. That's why I thought the lads asked that question. So that's where the Jarvis chatter came from. We know nothing. And I generally work off the thing of the less I know, the less I can give away. So that suits me. But you're talking there about the manager mentioning before, players that'll get you out of your seat. And like, when I look at, like, I got the squad list here in front of me. If you just imagine we started with, just say for argument's sake, Liam Burt and Matty Smith playing off John Martin, just for argument's sake, that's what you start with. You're leaving yourself then with Dean Williams, Shane Farrell, Sean Boyd, Keith Ward, Jad Akigi, not even starting again. Like, that, they're all players that get you out of your seat for different reasons. John Martin, I think everyone is going to enjoy John Martin. He is a workhorse. He will just run and run and run and run and run. And it's the old thing. All anyone wants is somebody that will give 100% for the shirt. You're going to get that times 100 with John Martin. You have Boydie, who's just that big, glorious bastard up front, who has skill but will run into people, and he'll get in people's heads, and he'll mouth at people, and he'll annoy everybody around him. Matty Smith can dribble with the ball, can finish, can cross. Shane Farrell, again, can come up with anything. Can come up with an outside of the foot pass from 25 yards, can come up with a cross, a shot. Dean Williams, a poacher in the box. Keith Ward can unlock a defence with one pass, as he did to us last year playing for Dundalk. Jad Akiki, again, another one. When he starts dribbling, it's impossible not to kind of sit up and take note of him.
You just make you dizzy. I remember I was getting just a bit of beer all, I was recording the warm-ups once, and Jad was just dribbling the ball, and I lost him. Like, he lost me, and I was focusing on him. Like, he's one of those that I don't think we've seen the best of Jad, and I think Jad has an awful lot to offer, and I think he'll be big this year, especially, you know, if he stays fit. He has that quality. The manager has spoken about it before, where he oozes a certain je ne sais quoi, and I think he'd be big for us this year.
And there is the first mention that I've ever heard in this podcast of
Yeah, so I decided to send back there a couple of weeks ago.
Props to you, Ben Cleary, for honestly, getting into European humour. There's Euro talk to come later. We'll enjoy some European chat in a little while.
Get back to enjoying my football. And
what we will do for now, we'll stay in the group chat. And we'll hear from Owen Wearin's latest signing, Roman McLaughlin.
I've played for Shells before 6 or 7 years ago, and I love my time at the club, and obviously I know a lot of the girls from that time there, and I've played with a lot of them growing up through the international setup, like the likes of Megan, Amanda and Alex, and quite a few more. So having those friendships there as well could only be positive for me. And I'm actually very excited to get going now. The first week of training went really well. I think we have a really good squad there. A lot of talent, a lot of the young players coming up as well, they're brilliant. So I think that, yeah, we have a lot of potential, so it's just about putting the work in now and getting good pre-season games under our belt, and I think we'll do really well.
The thoughts there of Roman McLaughlin. I was going to say the newest addition to the Women's Premier Division squad. Of course it's not. Ava O'Mahony has re-signed in the meantime, but Roman McLaughlin, again, Ben, we talked last week and the week before for the Women's Premier Division team. That mix of experience and youth. I mean, Roman McLaughlin, experience in spades.
Yeah, incredible signing for the side. Again, it's just one of those where you look at the young players we have coming up, and they're able to pick the brain of someone that is a full Ireland international. That's incredible for them. Someone who's been around the league, someone obviously has been at Chelsea before, but has been elsewhere. It's just, it's invaluable, I think, especially to the young players. And the squad that Owen Wearin has put together, he's kept the bones, the structure of last year, a lot of big players, and he's just added quality upon quality. It's incredible what he's managed to do.
And it's funny, Roma mentioned there about knowing some of the players from before, like through the international setup and players that were here. Like, that can be so important as well, just for a player to be able to slot straight back in, and can sometimes feel like you were never gone when there's bodies that are still there from when you left the last time. Between Roman McLaughlin and Ava O'Mahony in the space of a week, they're statement signings for me within that league, and there's been plenty of comings and goings elsewhere, but I mean, certainly on paper, signings-wise, I think some clubs could be looking at it saying, look what Shells are doing.
Yeah, I think it just shows intent. You look at the side, what they achieved last year, it was below their standards that they'd set for themselves, and I think they'd say that they were going out for that 3 in a row. They were looking for that. The cup final obviously ended in bitter disappointment. But these signings are, here, we're going for this. Like, no, they're not shy about it. They're not being discreet. It's, we have the quality, we've added more. What can you do?
Exactly. We will leave the group chat there for now, Ben. Moving forward, obviously, for next week, the phone number is 085-166-6784. Get your voice notes in. We'll take anything. If they're mad ramblings, if you've a bone to pick with an opinion one of us has, or if one of us has said something you might not agree with, by all means, I'm all for debate when nobody can answer back. It's perfect. Perfect scenario. And I can heavily edit it as well. So
you make them look crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, some people don't need the help, Ben. But look, here we are. We will lead the group chat for this week. Ben, before we move on, the Richie rankings. I have clarified something. It's Richie Winter.
Right.
No S.
No S.
There is no S. And we don't have to call him Tommy Summers or anything like that. There's no... he hasn't got wind of this just yet. We'll put it that way. So we survive for another week. But
we're not cancelled for another week.
No, hooray. As always, the Richie rankings works as... There are two types of people in this world. There is a Richie Baker. Great person. Successful. Funny. Charismatic. Type of fella you'd love to go and have a beer with. Or there's a Richie Winter, who sucks the life out of every single room he walks into and costs people cup finals and steals sweets from children. Ben,
the intro gets me every time.
This week, we'll take one each. Do you want to take the Richie Baker or do you want to take the Richie Winter?
I think I'll take the Richie Baker. I always like being nicer, and I think you're a bit better when you can give someone a bit of stick, so I'll leave you with that one.
Ben, fire away. Give us your Richie Baker. Well, actually, sorry, before you go on,
right?
I did have an older Reds man stop me in Tolkien on Tuesday. He threatened me and told me not to say what his name was. Don't know why. Bit sketchy if you ask me, but sure, look, we're all friends here. He did say that it should be Richie Foran or right. Richie Winter. Now, I will make a point of saying you can be a Richie Baker or a Richie Foran. No problem. But I needed to correct that, Ben, because I was getting stick for it. Fire away with your Richie Baker.
Well, stick within the club. I think the work that Tony O'Neill is doing is invaluable. Video went out this week of the launch of a Silver Community Programme with the workshop that he put on with all our affiliate clubs. Look, I think that stuff is immensely positive for the club and community to bring young kids in, especially with the league and the way it's gone in terms of growth. I think his work is incredible for the club, and fair play to him. He's doing a great job and he's a great ambassador for the club. So that, Tony O'Neill, the Richie Baker.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree more, Ben. So now it falls on me to give out the Richie Winter. The Richie Winter for this week, Ben. I will not mention a name because I know that can get a little bit dodgy. But
oh dear,
this week, a certain club from within the pale have been involved in this war over social media. And it basically stems from an agent on Twitter giving it the big one. I don't know whether you've seen any of this, Ben, or do you need a breakdown?
No, I've seen a bit, but for our lovely listeners, I think you should give a breakdown.
So basically, what happened was this agent, in inverted commas, has numerous players around the league. He had one player, we'll call him a goalkeeper, and this goalkeeper wanted basically the catch for re-signing with the club was he wanted to be able to leave and sign for an English club in the summer. So supposedly, the club said, no, we're not doing that because then we're going to be stung with no goalkeeper in the summer if that comes about. And then the agent decided to take to social media, being as professional as all good agents are, and basically moaned that club went on to sign players on loan until the summer and gave out saying, oh yeah, they wouldn't, try to paint it as like the club were stopping this, you know, youngster from being able to go to England. Not the case at all. The club are covering themselves. Fair play to them for putting their foot down, is what I would say. This isn't Shells, by the way. Let's just get that one out there. It's most definitely not Shells. They're not a Dublin club. But yeah, the agent took to Twitter to have a pop and say, oh yeah, they wouldn't sign my goalkeeper, but yet they'll sign players on loan. Signing players on loan is a very different thing to basically agreeing to put your goalkeeper in the shop window and then letting them go for nothing in the summer. So that particular agent is my Richie Winter. I would say he's the type of person that skimps on a round. Definitely strikes me as that type. 100%. So yes, that particular agent is my Richie Winter for this week.
I think it's well earned.
Yes, it's certainly well earned. So, Ben, some people have been a little bit shy when it's come to the group chat. They've preferred to send a text rather than a voice note, which is fine, no problem. I've no issue with that. So I did get a couple of questions through Instagram and Twitter. So we're ready to field a couple of these, Ben.
Ah, go on.
Yeah, of course. Let me pull them up here. I done all my lovely prep earlier on, Ben, on my phone. Would you believe? Usually I write it down, it's a lot easier.
I've seen your notebooks there. There's about three of them. They're the ramblings of a madman.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, just drawing circles constantly. So, Adam wanted to know if you could put one ex-red into the current team now, who would it be? And that ex-red is in their prime, of course. I'll let you go first, Ben.
Look, I'm going to be diplomatic about this and I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Everyone is going to say Wes Hoolan. I think that's the very boring answer, unfortunately. Yes, we'd obviously take him in his prime. He was incredible. It's ridiculous to consider other options. But for the sake of this, I think it's important to consider other options because, as we touched on, we've a lot of quality up front. So I'm going to go someone that can play in that kind of attack and kind of can drop off a little bit. A lot of quality. A bit of a mad one. And a bit of maybe controversial. Joey Ndo. And I don't really know why he just springs to my head. He just has that quality, this control of a game. I just imagined if you got him a little bit deeper, stick Mark Coyle beside him to run around like a hatchet man, like a madman. I think it'd be incredible. And it's just something that I'd love to see. So, yeah, I think Joey Ndo for me. I know, a bit of a mad one, but unfortunately, fortunately, I'm old enough to remember a bit of Joey, so I think he'd be my pick.
I loved the story. Stewie Byrne, was it Stewie or Ollie Cahill? Might have been Ollie Cahill, actually, told us the story at the 1895 Live podcast last year of they were in the dressing room before a European game, and Nutsy Pat Fennin was going through his team talk. And giving out all the details and the usual stuff. And Joey Ndo was sitting on the seat in the dressing room with his head back against the wall, the big bench jacket on him, the hood up, and his eyes shut. And Nutsy went up to him and was like, Joey, are you listening? Are you like, what are you doing? And Joey, cool as you like, just pulled the hood down a little bit. And he said, I play football with my feet, not with my eyes. It's magic. That was a great story. Stewie, actually, that same night, he told us about the during the Hatcher split game, of course, we were going through, like we had done enough to go through and we were kind of breaking away, and Joey picked up the ball, and before he came onto the pitch, he was told by Eamon Collins and by Nutsy, just keep the ball. Do not give the ball away under any circumstances. So Joey went on a little mazy run, kind of got down towards the byline, and everyone was screaming at him. Stewie Byrne said he can remember the veins popping out of his own head, screaming, go to the corner, go to the corner, because we were already qualified. And Joey got to the byline and just decided to cut back inside and squared it to Alan Moore. And then, of course, look, the rest is history after that. But yeah, I would love to see the enigma of Joey Ndo back in the red. I think it's a great show. My one, I know you said we have an abundance of attacking talent, and I would totally agree with you there. But I think the one thing that we're missing, and I think everyone is kind of missing all through the league, is that 25, 30 goal a season striker. So I think if you could add a Jason Byrne into this team, just to be in that box, imagine Liam Burt, Matty Smith, Jad, Keith Ward, Shane Farrell, all these players playing off Jason Byrne, putting stuff on silver platters for him.
Yeah.
The guy would score 40-odd goals, I think.
I think he's one I looked at. I remember looking, he was top goal scorer from, I think it was 03, 04, 05, and 06. And I was like, that is incredible. The league's top goal scorer for that run, unbelievable.
Yeah, a sicko. The other one that sprung to mind straight away when I seen the question, the very first name that jumped into my head straight away, because I think those days of Europe are so far a distant memory that I go to more the recent. We were talking about this before we start recording. You kind of go more to the recent past. Philly Hughes was one. Philly Hughes in his prime. As a squad player in there, I think definitely could do a bit of damage. Any other honourable mentions, Ben?
I think you look at the icons of the past. Shero, another great shout. Stephen Gagan, I think, is one that maybe gets a little bit overlooked. I don't know. Again, a little bit before my time, but Darren is one for Red's history, so he's... I'm well versed. I've watched a lot of games, especially during COVID when we had the reeling in the Reds, and there was a few throwback games. We made a whole thing of we'd sit down and we get the snacks in, we watch them. So look, didn't get to experience a lot of it live, but it was unbelievable to watch back, and adding that kind of quality into the side, I think that's your league title push there. Those lads in their prime. That's league winning material, and obviously it was league winning material.
Ben, Dave C wants to know, what's the most memorable goal you've ever seen Shells score? Doesn't necessarily have to have been the most important goal, but just a goal that sticks out in your memory.
When I ask me that now, the first goal that came into my head, and it's such a random one, JJ Lunny versus UCD.
Oh yeah.
And I don't, it's just the first one that came into my head, smooth operator playing in the background, and he just feathers, unbelievable. I don't know why, but it's the first one that came to my head, so it's the one I'm going with. Why not?
You know what? Call me mad. We don't score an awful lot of crackers or screamers. We don't. Even going back through the years, even in those really good years, I would struggle to pick out absolute screamers. I remember Wezzo scored an outrageous lob from miles out. I think it was against UCD and Talca. That sticks out in my head. But my most memorable goal, and it just, I can still, there's probably two now again. I'm chopping and changing. The original one I thought of was Dave Rogers.
Yeah, it has to be.
I think that's probably most people's. I can still remember the ball dropping out of the sky and think to myself, don't shoot, why are you shooting? And then the story behind that, he was hitting the net all through the week in training, and it was destined to be, and scouts are hamming up a story like only scouts are can do. There was that one. The other one I always think of is Philly Hughes in the cup final, where John Sullivan just kind of hooked the ball up in the air and it fell. Philly scrambled it home, and just the pandemonium in Lansdowne Road after that was pretty amazing. That'd be one I'd think of as well.
I think during the goal celebrations there, I went flying 2 rows ahead of me, because people just start grabbing each other and start shaking each other, as you do when you score a goal, especially in the cup final. So yeah, it's a memorable, it's a few bruises I think still to this day from that goal, so it's not a bad one.
Yeah, Philly actually injured his hand or his arm during those celebrations. I remember him telling me that in an interview after the fact. What have we got here else? Philly L, what's the longest journey home from a game the lads can ever remember? Again, doesn't have to necessarily be by the kilometres, more so how long the trip felt. I'll go first on this one, Ben. I've made you go first on all the other ones. This one, I don't know whether you'll remember this one, because you are in your Reds' infancy at the time. But 2007, we'd been demoted. We were just about on the pitch. The week before, we'd had the euphoria of Darren McKenna's equaliser right at the end of the game against Kildare. And the I'm pretty sure it was the following game. We went to Finn Harps and we conceded with the last kick of the game against Finn Harps. Connor Gettins, I'll never forget that man's name, scored. And I think, again, I'm open to be corrected and somebody probably will. I think it was a free kick. And that horrible vermin, Paul Hegarty, that was his name. He ran onto the pitch celebrating and it was just...
There was venom in that dude. You said horrible vermin.
And I feel a bit bad now because I'm pretty sure Mark Coyle mentioned him when we done the long form interview with him and said he was a great fella. And he probably is. But in that instance, I couldn't even look at him. But the worst part of that one was I was obviously only a kid, so we had to drive home. Me, my dad, and my two brothers wedged in the back of the car, driving all the way home from Ballybuffet. It's grand if you can hop on the bus and like sink a few cans or whatever to get over it. But a long, long, long journey home that one. So it's Finn Harps away in 07 for me. Ben, what's your longest trip home ever?
This one is gonna sound weird, but Drogheda last game of the season last year.
I'm with you.
Because it was me, you and Darren in the van. And the manager just obviously done his post-match interviews. And it was the whole euphoria of, oh my God, we're one step closer to where we want to be. And then he gives his interview and you're like, oh no. The Reds have done something that only the Reds can do and have ruined it all again. We've shelled it up. And I remember getting into the van. We walked over. It was in a car park and we got into the van. We just sat in silence for about 5 minutes. We're like, I think you broke the silence then. Well, that's it, is it? We're done, are we? And it was just a horrible, horrible trip home because it's just, you're just thinking about the doom and gloom of it all. We're on cloud nine about 10 minutes, 10 good minutes after the game. And then the manager dropped his bombshell in all his interviews. And he said, whether he'll be on the touchline or in the Riverside, he'd be supporting the Reds. And that just, in that moment, my heart sank and I was like, right, it's done. And we got into the car and it felt like I was coming home from a Finn Harps or a Derry. Like, it just felt like I'd never get home.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. And that one was a weird one because obviously Darren was doing the interview with the manager. So he was standing right beside the camera. Me and you were at opposite sides, kind of looking over Darren's head at each other. And I just remember the look we both gave each other when the manager said about whether he was in the dugout or in the Riverside. He'd be, what was it, 50% angry and 50% the most heartbroken man in Ireland, I think is what you said. I remember just going, oh no. And you always hear the stories of how like the manager is very, you know, if he makes a decision, that's it. He's made the decision. And I remember thinking, oh, we're done. We're done. And then it changed it. We're going to end up with some Egypt from the whole academy now is going to end up managing us, and it's going to turn into like a Dundalk situation where there's just all kinds of people coming and going, and it was going to end up in mayhem. Thankfully, it didn't. Thankfully, the Reds are in Europe this year, and that's the last question we're going to go to. This was, I have it here, hang on. Aiden F. People are very stingy with their names, Ben, aren't they?
Yeah,
some people just don't want to like
let yourself
let it out of the bag. Yeah, 8OF anyway, he wanted to know, lads, I'm hearing so much stories about the draw for Europe and who we can and can't get. How will the draw pan out and can we be drawn to anywhere in Europe? So this one is kind of, it's hard because you don't really have many details until you get closer to the time. So the first qualifying round draw is split. So it's split into five groupings with five seeded and unseeded in each grouping. And then there's one with six seeded, six unseeded in it. So the whole thing is split into seeded and unseeded. Then it's split again into these smaller groupings. And like, it's roughly done geographically. UEFA do their usual thing where some countries can't be drawn against each other for political reasons or that type of thing. So the likelihood of a Kazakhstan or an Azerbaijan or somewhere like that is pretty slim. I don't know whether people would be happy or sad to hear that one. But going off the draw, and obviously the Conference League's only new, like this is only the third season of it, so it could change. But like the groupings that the, like, we're unseeded in the draw this year. So the countries that the unseeded League of Ireland teams have been grouped with in the last two seasons. So are you ready for this, Ben?
I am.
Luxembourg, Macedonia, Faroe Islands, Malta, Gibraltar, Andorra, Latvia, Estonia, Northern Ireland, Iceland, Wales, Slovenia, San Marino. They're likely to be the possibilities of where we could end up.
Okay.
So, Ben, give me your, where do you want to go out of those countries?
I think Malta, Gibraltar, I think they're the ones that stood out to me. I'm a bit funny. I'm not really, this is going to sound cliche, but I don't really care where we go, as long as we don't go up north. As long as you get a lovely trip out of it, I'm just thinking, you know, content-wise, I know it's very cliche to be
nerd.
Like, oh, yeah, nerd, I know, I was waiting for that. But, like, we could do so much stuff with it. I'm actually really excited. I think it's going to be really memorable. Like, I was too young to remember our European ventures, and my mom definitely wasn't letting me on them, especially after she heard what Darren got up to in Deportivo. I'm sure he a pod in itself. But I think Malta, Gibraltar stands out. You know, a nice sunny trip with the lads. Good bit of football, hopefully the result going our way, and a bit of sun. I think that's where I'd like to end up, ideally. Anywhere but up north.
Yeah, we've had this discussion as well, Ben. It's like, you're way up. Like, are you looking for the best trip, or are you looking for the best chance of progressing? And even if you're looking at what's the best trip, like, what does the best trip entail? Is it somewhere that's handy to get to? Is it somewhere that's going to take three different flights to get to? Like, what? That's going to be different for everybody. So get in touch. Let us know where you'd ideally like to end up, or where you definitely wouldn't like to end up. I don't want Northern Ireland or Wales. There's no, very little excitement in that for me. I know, I think Reggie was the one who's mad for Wales. Oh, it'd be great to get the boat over. No.
Reggie can get the boat by himself to Wales.
I want to go to Macedonia or somewhere where, like, you have to get two flights and then a train, and then the swan boat then brings you up the river to get to the stadium. That's the kind of thing I want.
Walk you back to the stadium.
Yeah, I just want as far-fetched as is humanly possible. I know Europe's a long way away, but go on, sorry, Ben.
No, you'd be turning around and be like, I've travelled for 82 hours to be here. A week worth of travelling to see 90 minutes of football.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's all it's about.
That's what I mean. That's the memories you want, I think.
Look, there's going to be plenty of European talk as the season goes on. I know the manager will probably be fairly quick to say there's a whole lot of league games to play before we even dream about thinking of Europe. But for those nerds among us, the draw is the 18th of June. The ties are the 11th and the 18th of July. There's a lot riding on that draw for me, Ben. I got the bombshell dropped on me in work today that one of the lads has already booked his holidays for the first and second week of July. So basically,
I was going to say, what you're saying is you're looking for a new job, and this is where you're going to advertise that you're available for work. Just not on those dates.
No. It's not that bad. I should be all right. But when the draw is done, it's not just like a team comes out of pot A, a team comes out of pot B, and they play each other. It's like loads of teams from one group are given one number, loads of teams from another group are given the same number. A ball from each, from the seed and unseed, comes out, goes into a middle pot and mix around. It's so complicated, and it's very, very complicated. But basically, the gist of it is there'll be two balls in the middle bowl, and I need Shells to come out as the first name so that we're at home first. If you're the first name drawn, you're at home first. So I need that to happen, and then I've absolutely no issue going to the away game. If we come out second, I could have a bit of work to do, but we'll be all right. We'll get there. Little bit of housekeeping. There's a new scoreboard. Anyone that's involved in Talca Talks, there is a new scoreboard being put into Talca within the next couple of weeks. Presumed the target there is to have it in for the Rovers game, which is the second game of the season. Loads of us will have fond memories of that old scoreboard down the Ballybock end of the ground, especially during the European years. The big, I probably can't say the sponsor's name, will I? Our current sponsor's probably getting annoyed. But very distinguishable scoreboard down that end. There is a new scoreboard being put in, which is great progress. There's going to be some murals and street art put along the Richmond Road side of the ground as well in the next coming weeks. Something that was spoken about at the fans forum. Again, another step in the right direction. There's plenty of good steps being taken off the pitch in that right direction. And the season ticket link will go out on Wednesday. We're recording here Tuesday evening, so you're probably listening on Wednesday. So today, at some stage, that season ticket link is going to be emailed to, the ticket link for the Waterford game will be sent out to season ticket holders. Look, you can only do the maths one way. Not everyone will get a ticket. It's shit, to be totally honest with you, that people who do go week in, week out, up to Derry, down to Cork, wherever it needs to be, they go and they will miss out on that game. It is terrible, but it's just, that's the way it is for now. So keep an eye on your emails on Wednesday for your chance to secure a ticket for the first game of the season away to Waterford. That's the 16th of February. Ben, any other bits of housekeeping?
I think you've touched on everything there. You're getting real good at this. You're a seasoned veteran at this stage.
I certainly would not go that far. Most of this stuff is written down right in front of my face, so I can't possibly forget it. As I mentioned at the start, it's 085-166-6784. Get your voice notes in for the group chat for next week. Obviously, look, that will ramp up now as the season goes on. When there's games being played, I might stick out a little reminder on a Friday evening when the game finishes. Get your voice notes in nice and early. React to the game. The more people give us, you know, the more diverse the pod will be, the more opinions we get, the better. Eventually, it will get to Fridays and obviously Saturdays with the Women's Premier Division side playing as well. There'll be loads to talk about. This Friday, actually, we are playing our last pre-season friendly. It's at home to Longford. There's a bit of dispute about the kickoff time. As far as I'm aware, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff. So get yourselves down. That will be the first team involved in that friendly. It won't be the under 20. So that's kind of the dry run for the following week down in Waterford. Get yourselves out. Get back into your normal Friday routine. Let your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your ma, your dad, whoever you need to let them know that, look, Fridays are back. I won't be around. I have to have that lovely conversation with my own partner this week at some stage, but she's well versed in it by now. Ben, thank you very much for giving up your evening as always.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I do always appreciate the invite, and I do love our little chats. And you didn't sting me with a referee question this week, so thank God.
No, I didn't. I'll pick my moments, Ben. I'll pick my moments.
Just pick someone else, please.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers, dude.
Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.